Morning. Today's Daf and Chulin Samach Tes. We're on the bottom of Samach Chesem and Beis, or towards the bottom of Samach Chesem and Beis. We're picking it up where we left off yesterday. Immediately after the Gemara refutes the opinion of Rav Yochanan, that's where we're picking it up. The Tiyufta de Ula Tiyufta. So Amar Mar, that is where we are starting this morning. Yesterday we began the fourth parak of the Masechta. Fourth parak of Masechta Chulin operates as almost like a supplemental parak to the third parak. Third parak, obviously, Ola Treifus, talks about the halachas of Treifus. Here in the fourth parak, a little bit later on, we're going to be dealing with Treifus, but we opened up yesterday with a discussion regarding Ben Pekua. Ben Pekua, just a very interesting, unusual halacha regarding the allowance to eat a fetus that was inside of the mother when the mother was shechted. So in other words, when you shecht the mother with a fetus inside, so not only are you allowed to eat the mother that you just shechted, but the fetus inside you're also allowed to eat as well. It doesn't require its own shechita. Not only does it not require its own shechita, let's say under the circumstance where, let's say, the fetus after the mother was shechted, let's say it wasn't killed, but let's say you took it out and it developed and it grew. So even as an adult, it doesn't require its own shechita. And that's something that's going to be coming up and we're going to be discussing a little bit later as well. In the meantime, however, the Mishnah assumed that we knew this, even though, by the way, yesterday we didn't quote a drasha in terms of the basic halacha ben pekua that's coming up today. The Mishnah assumed that we knew this information. And what the Mishnah dealt with is the following. Let's say that right before you shechted the mother, the fetus inside of the mother, so extended one of its arms. So in the extension of one of its arms outside the mother, it's no longer in the protective environment of the mother. The only thing that becomes permitted with the shechita is that which is inside of the mother, ba behema. But if it's not inside of the mother, so it's not going to become nitar b'shechitas imo. And so that limb that extends, so we're going to call that a treifa. Now when I say we, I mean the Gemara yesterday. The Gemara yesterday said that limb that extends is called a treifa. It's not a treifa in the classic sense. There's no pathology. There's nothing. There's no nekev. It's not severed. It's not a pathology. It's just that the status of that limb is not going to be evitrefa. The Gemara darshins it based on a pasuk that we learned in yesterday's daf, that anything is basar basada trefa lo sochelu. It's out in the field. It's outside of its mechitzas, and so therefore it is going to have the status of a trefa. The question that we dealt with yesterday, although the Gemara did arrive at a very clear conclusion, is that what if, let's say, the limb extended, but then retracted into the mother? So would there be now an allowance, if this is all before the shechita, would there be an allowance to eat that limb because it extended, but it came back in, before the shechita? And so on that, there was a machlokis amarayim. Rav Yehuda Marav, through most of yesterday's daf, was of the opinion that no, it has the status of a trefa. That extended limb is going to have a status of a trefa and will continue to have a status of a shefa, even if it retracts and goes back into the mother, into the uterus of the mother, it does not matter. Masha Enke and Ula quotes the name of Yochanan yesterday that no, the Isra is only when it's extended. If it extends and it retracts in before the shechita, so Rav Yochanan tells us that the limb is going to be mutter. Although the Gemara, at the conclusion of yesterday's daf, refuted the opinion of Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara sides with the positions of Rav and Shmuel, that in fact the limb is going to be usher and will continue to be usher. Okay. Amar Mar.
We're not concerned with Marathon that people will see.
Later, the Gemara is going to bring up that issue. That's coming up a little bit later on. Amar Mar. So picking up right where we left off yesterday, Lefisha Matzino be Meister Shenim Vikurin, Hecha Matzino. Now we said regarding Meister Shenim Vikurin, meaning, what did we learn yesterday's daf regarding Maaser Shein Bikurim? It could be taken outside of the wall, it could be brought back in again. And the discussion yesterday was, look, we have a lot of areas in halacha where there's a mechitza, it creates a protection for that which is inside. If taken outside, is it reversible or irreversible? And by Bikurim and by Maaser Shein, we said it's totally reversible. You bring it inside to the walls of your shlam, you take it out, not a problem. You bring it back inside again. Well, right. Someone after the daf yesterday pointed that out to me. Anyway, dichsiv delosu chalacha b'sharecha ma'isa degancha b'sharecha hu delosecha aval yasu chutz mechitzasim v'chazur mutarin. In other words, as far as the Torah is concerned, the Torah is just simply worried about the fact that it's outside. Once it's inside, you're fine. I was inside, I was taken back outside. No problem. Bring it inside. Now, b'marava masnuhachi. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, so they're saying over the same machlokas that we just learned together, but they started over a little bit differently. So basically now, as we learned in yesterday's daf, we have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel on one side, although yesterday was really presented as Shitas Rav, Rav Yehuda Marav, and on the other side we had Ula Marav Yochanan. So let's distill it and let's just simply call it Rav Yochanan. So you have a machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan in terms of whether or not an extended limb of the fetus outside of the mother can ever become a reversible situation if in fact goes back inside the mother. Rav says it's irreversible and it will always have the status of Trefa, and Rav Yochanan says it's perfectly reversible if it retracts and goes in before the Shechita. That's how we said over the machlokas in yesterday's daf. Now we're going to present seemingly the same machlokas, but with a slight variation. So, can a limb be born or can a limb not be born? Out of context, of course, you'd have no idea what the Gemara is talking about. But in our context, the Gemara makes perfect sense. Meaning, can a limb be born? What does that mean, can a limb be born? The fetus is born. What does that mean, a limb is born? So, in other words, yesh leida le'ivarim, if you take a look at Rashi, first wide line, Aver shiyatza hareha aver ki yalud. So a limb that comes out now, it's as if now the limb has been born. Desula mehan yalei chazara means to say that just like birth is an irreversible situation, so too, when a limb comes out and it has a status of trefa, that now is leida for the limb, making it irreversible. Mash ein kein, ein leida, that's Rav Yochanan, so that means to say that it's not born. It doesn't have a status of being born. It's just that the limb came out, but the limb can go right back in again. Good. Now, what just happened over here, seemingly nothing, seemingly, meaning we're just simply presenting the same machlokas that we saw yesterday between Rav and Rav Yochanan, and all we're doing is just giving it a new formulation. So the Gemara says, my benayu. So the Gemara says, okay, wonderful. We're not interested in new formulations, meaning if it's the same machlokas that we learned yesterday, so what was the point of saying it a little bit differently? So the Gemara says, Ika Beinai. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there is actually a difference between the way they say in Eretz Yisrael and the way that we learned in yesterday's daf. Because, L'meisar miyot eivr shebifnim. In other words, the difference is going to be small, but still a difference, a real difference. Meaning, what about the remaining part of the limb? Meaning, let's say you have a majority of the limb that came out. But it's not the total, it's not the full limb, but still a majority. For purposes of a discussion, I'll throw out numbers. Let's say that 3/4 of the front leg extended outside the mother. Okay. So in yesterday's daf, if you want to say it over like we said over yesterday, so what does that mean? According to Rav, those 3/4 of the arm that's outside of the mother, asur. What about the last quarter that's still inside? Mutter. And I know yesterday we talked about the makom achituch, right? The part that's on the border. But okay, but again, just to keep everything simple. So the 3/4 that's outside is asur, and the 1/4 is mutter. Masha Enkin, according to Rav Yochanan, what would be the halacha? If the arm comes back in again, before the shechita, mutter. Good. Now what the Gemara is suggesting is the way we're saying it today, of whether or not there's yesh leida or ein leida le'ivarim, it means now as follows. Let's say 3/4 of the arm came out. Now, if you say yesh leida le'ivarim, so what did you just have? The birth of the limb. Halachically, status-wise, it's ke'ilu, the entire limb now, has emerged from the mother. And so therefore, according to today's version, that means that the whole limb is going to be usur. Mashenkin, according to Rav Yochanan, really there won't be any difference. But at least within the Shita of Rav now, there's going to be a difference between whether we're just looking at the part that came out, that's yesterday's daf, or the section of the limb do we look at a limb in its totality? And the part that came out and the minority part that's still inside are both going to be usur. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's presuppose that we're working with the position that there's no leida as it relates to limbs. Let's say you have one limb coming out, another limb coming out, each one individually independent of one another, but then when I take the sum total of the number of limbs that came out, so what we have is a majority of the baby that has emerged. Now again, let's go back to what we learned in the beginning. When we're talking about the definition of birth, so the definition of birth could either be, number one, crowning. the head emerges. And by the way, I didn't point this out yesterday. When we talk about the emergence of the head, it doesn't even have to be the whole head. It just simply has to be the padachas, the crown of the fetus. And even there, by the way, it might not even have to be the padachas. It could be the row of padachas. But regardless, I'll keep everything nice and simple. So one way to define birth is going to be whether the head emerges. That's one way to describe birth. Another way to describe birth is that if it's not the head that comes, if it's not the head that comes out first, but rather comes out breech, if you have the majority of the fetus's body emerge outside of the mother, that also is a definition of birth. What the Gemara now wants to know is as follows. If I hold like Rav and I have limbs coming out one at a time, but we subscribe to the idea of yesh leida le'ivarim, obviously we now know that we're going to take the sum total of the number of the limbs that actually emerged. So the Gemara says, so I'm good. I know what Rav would say. But what if you're Rav Yochanan and you subscribe to the idea of ein leida le'ivarim, and now what comes out one limb at a time? But in other words, Rav Yochanan does not qualify it as a leida. It doesn't have status as it comes out. But meanwhile, sum total now, all or not all, the majority of the baby has emerged, even though it came out only one limb at a time. So mi amrin en hanafik le'ruba. So do we just simply assess that the sum total now is that the majority of the limbs did come out, admittedly not all at once, but still, odilma came into hadar hadar. Or maybe no. Excuse me. Maybe do we say that since once it retracts, it basically now becomes as if it did not come out at all, and so therefore we do not take the aggregate total of the limbs that emerged. So the Gemara says, and now let's assume that once the limb has retracted, so that's it. We're back to zero. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara now continues along its questioning. We're holding like Rav Yochanan. We hold Ein Leida Le'Ivarim. We're holding that once it retracts, we're sending it back to zero. But let's say every time it extends a limb, we cut off the portion that came out. And we continue to do that until the majority of the fetus has now emerged. So now that we have the majority of the fetus physically outside of the animal, can we now call that a birth, even though it did not come out at one time altogether? So again, so on one hand, we could just simply say that the majority of it is in fact emerged. Or maybe, no, we need to have rov coming out all at one shot. Tashma, the Gemara says, well, let's consider the following as we now turn to the top of Samach Tesaman Aleph. Zaklal. Davashagufa also v'sheinu gufa mutter. So, look back at our Mishnah. What did we learn together in our Mishnah? That if it's an organ, like a spleen or like a kidney, in order for us to be able to eat the spleen and the kidney, it has to be connected to the mother. Physically connected to the mother. When I say mother, I mean, really, animal. It has to be connected to the animal. But when it comes to the fetus, you don't need attachment. You just simply need the fetus to be internal to the mother, and you can go ahead and you can then eat the fetus that was inside. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. But the Gemara now would like to sit on the language of the Mishnah. So if it is davisha gufa, asavisha enu gufa, mutter. If it's something like an organ, that's gufa, so then a detached organ inside of the mother is not going to be mutter. If it's something like a fetus, it doesn't have to be attached. It can be detached as long as it's inside. Now, she'en gufa lo suye mai. Now, we said it's ein gufa. What is that coming to include? Lav lo suye ki agafna. So presumably what we're talking about now over here is the issue under our discussion, where it is a really unusual scenario to put into the Mishnah, but basically, are we not talking about where the fetus now is coming out one limb at a time? Every time a limb comes out, we cut off the limb of that fetus that came out to the point where now the majority of it is now exited. And so now what is left inside is the minority remains of a fetus. It doesn't have the status of a fetus, and so therefore, it's not going to be mutter. And presumably, that's what the Mishnah is making reference to. Now, again, I know that is a really unusual scenario to stick into the Mishnah, but the Gemara is suggesting that that's in fact so. And to which the Gemara just simply rejects. The Gemara says, lo, la suya kala b'mei para, valiba de Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara says, no, and as far as what the Mishnah is looking to address is the case where you have the mutated fetus inside of the mother. We discussed this yesterday. We discussed it again today. The mutated fetus inside the mother, the mutation happens to be that the hoof is not split. The fetus's hooves are fused together. And under those circumstances, what do we say? That as according to Rabbi Shimon, if that fetus ends up becoming born, so you can't eat it. It doesn't have process, it doesn't have split hoofs. But if you shechted the mother and it was inside the mother, even Rabbi Shimon will allow you to eat it. Afa gavdam Rabbi Shimon called ben para asur, even though in general, if it would have been born, it would have been prohibited. Yeah, that's if it emerges. But inside it would be permitted, and that's what the Mishnah looks to include when saying that you're allowed to eat any fetus inside. When we say any fetus, what do we mean? Even a kalot, who under normal circumstances you would not allow to eat. By Rav Chanina.
Correct. Agreed.
We're about seven lines from the top of the Amud. The Gemara now asks the following question. Now, in order to introduce this question, so let's go back to a broader point that we discussed yesterday. Really, in terms of the theme of yesterday's daf, and really continuation in today's daf as well, we have this idea of mechitzos, that when something is in a protective environment, so as long as it remains in the protective environment, it would be fine. Now, we talked about it in terms of a ben pakua, where you have the fetus inside of the mother and you shechted the mother, because it was inside of the environs of the mother, so therefore it's nitar b'shechita simo. But in yesterday's daf, we also talked about it in other contexts as well. Let's say you have a karbon that's in the azara, a chatas, in the azara. We talked about it regarding Maaser Sheni within the walls of Yerushalayim. So we had these ideas expressed in many different areas. It's interesting, the Gemara doesn't discuss this, but and I understand it's not talking about consumption, but like an Ir Miklat also. I understand on a different, you know, for different purposes, I do get why the Gemara did not introduce that into our discussion. But Ir Miklat is a similar idea. Well, when you're in the Ir Miklat, you're protected, and once you're outside, you're no longer under its protection. But let's talk right now just in terms of mechitzas, in terms of protecting an animal and giving an animal the status of being mutter. And when outside, no longer it's mutter. So with that idea, can I basically borrow mechitzas from one area of halacha and apply to another area in halacha? And what do I mean by that? Well, you'll see the Gemara's question in just a moment, where the Gemara is basically going to take this idea of using other mechitzos for our halachic question of whether or not it could be protected, even though it's not going to be protected by its own mechitzas, but maybe it could be protected by other mechitzas as well. Let's see the question inside. By Rav Chanina, hotzi ubar siyado be'azara, mao. So let's say you have a scenario in which it's a karban, obviously it's a female, because we're going to be talking about the fetus inside. And by the way, being that it's a female, so how many karbanas can we be talking about? It's really limited. We could be talking about a chatas, but really we can't be talking, I'm going to rule it out. We can't be talking about chatas, because what's the halacha of avlad chatas? Avlad chatas is mesa. Right. So really, we boiled ourselves down to a shlamim. Okay, good. Okay, fine. So we have now a karban in the azara. It has a fetus inside, and we're ready to shecht it, and the fetus extended one of its limbs outside the mother. Now, normally, we learned in yesterday's daf, now we're experts, because we spent one daf learning about it. So and yesterday we learned that once that arm is extended, we hold like Rav, we paskin like Rav. And that arm now irreversibly is going to have the status of a trefa. But now the Gemara's question is really interesting. But you know, even though it left its mechitzas, it's still now surrounded by other mechitzas, i.e. the mechitzas of the Azara. Can the mechitzas of Azara serve now as a substitute mechitza for the limbs? So migodave mechitza lagabe kachim, because it is a mechitza for karbanos, having nami lagabe dahai. So maybe it could be viewed as a mechitza for the fetus as well. Odim lagabe dahai la mechitza hi. The mechitzos ubar imo hi. Or maybe no. Maybe as far as the fetus is concerned, the only thing that gives it halachic protection is only its mother, and not the mechitzas of the Azara. So Amar le Abaye, v'tibay lach kachim kalim b'Yerushalayim. So Abaye says, you know, it's interesting. I do understand the question, but I'm curious. Why didn't you ask about Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim? So Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim, my time alo kami ba'ilach. And I know why you were not ready to ask that question. Because you realized it's not going to work. De mechitzas uber imohu. Because you knew that the mechitzas of the walls of Yerushalayim are not going to serve as any kind of substitute mechitzas for the fetus. The only mechitzas for the fetus are going to be the environs of its mother. And that's it. So hachinami mechitza uber imohu. So over here we're going to be saying the exact same thing. That the only mechitza for the fetus is going to be its mother, and you cannot look at any other halachic mechitzos as serving as a stand-in in terms of giving it a protection. Maybe. Could very well be. Vayilfa hotzi uber siyado ben simla simen mahu. And here we go now with a question that, truth of the matter is, we already raised this earlier in the Masechta, and this is not the first time we're hearing the question, but now this is its rightful place in that we are discussing Ben Pekua, and we're discussing extended limbs of the fetus before Shechita. Question on the table. Let's say the fetus extended its limb outside of the mother, Ben Simon Lesimon, as we already discussed extensively in the first two Perakim. A proper shechita requires the shechting of simen number one, the trachea, and simen number two, the esophagus. And only when you shecht both is the animal now properly shechted. We also learned together extensively that shechita accomplishes two things. One, it allows us to eat the animal. Two, it prevents the animal from being an avela. Let's say now the limb of this fetus came out between simen number one and simen number two. And consider now the following. For simen number one, what did the shechita represent for that limb? Now remember, it was in utero at the time of simen number one. So it represented a dual function. One, it was going to allow for its consumption. And two, it was going to prevent it from becoming an avela. But now, between the two simanim, now it extended the limb. That limb now cannot be eaten and can never be eaten. That limb extended as a trefa like we learned in yesterday's daf. So therefore, the shechita of simen number two for this limb does not represent a heter achila, but still, could it prevent it from becoming a nevela? Mi mitzar siman rishon and siman sheni latahara, mi de nevela olo. And so, even though siman number two for that limb is only functioning as one of its purposes and not both, but can we still combine siman number one and siman number two at least for that singular purpose of preventing it from being a nevela? Amarava kavachomrim holo siman rishon. The siman shema latira b'achila lo yolo latar mide nevela, and to this Rava says he thinks it's a really simple logical argument. If siman number one can combine with siman number two for a heter achila on the rest of the animal, certainly can prevent it from becoming a nevela on the one limb, even though that limb is not going to be mutter b'achila. By Rav Yirmiya. Okay, these next gemaras, although a little bit complicated, are really enjoyable. Hopefully I'll do a good job presenting and explaining what the issue is, but it's great in terms of, I'll call it genetics. It's not genetics per se, but you'll understand in just a moment. When you have a Ben Pekua who extended a limb, so what you have halachically is a really complex scenario. Because what that means is as follows. A limb was extended before the shechita of the mother, and again, let's assume like Rav, even if it retracts, it's still going to be Aser. But now, if let's say you shech the mother, and you don't immediately terminate the fetus, but you allow it to live and grow up, and now you have an animal walking around that on one hand does not require shechita because it's a ben pekua, but on the other hand also has a limb, an extremity, that's a trefa. It's weird. Okay, and I say that with only in a halachic sense. It's weird. An animal that the vast majority of the animal you can eat, and you don't even need to shecht it. And meanwhile, the limb that it's walking around with is going to be a trefa and will always be a trefa forever. And eventually, when you decide to, quote-unquote, shecht this animal, so you can enjoy every part of the animal, except, of course, for the limb. So far, so good. And in of itself, that already is an oddity. But now with that understanding, so the Gemara says, now let us advance the discussion. Let's say I take this animal and I breed with this animal. And I made it, and I paired it along with another animal. And now we reproduce and we breed. And now the next generation. What is going to be the status of that next generation? Okay. By Rav Yirmiya. The Gemara says, can we be clear about this? Now, if we're breeding a ben pekua and another animal, and again, it's not just a ben pekua, it's a ben pekua with an aver trefa. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what, I don't even know why you're getting so fancy in your question. We don't even have to get fancy. How about this? How about just discussing breeding a regular ben pekua with no aver trefa, just a simple ben pekua and a non ben pekua? We breed those two. The Amar of Misharshul Adivar, Amar Choshen Lezera Av. Now there is a question that's going to be coming up throughout our Masechta, and that is halachically, meaning obviously biologically and genetically, the father's input is important. Okay, it's just how sexual reproduction works. You need a father. Okay, good. So that part we get. However, there is a discussion, a debate that we're going to be seeing throughout our Gemara. And that is whether or not halachically the father's input is relevant or irrelevant halachically. And we're talking about animals right now. We're not talking about humans. Obviously, with a human, so the father's input is very important in terms of shevet, in terms of bechor, etc., etc. But in terms of an animal, are we choshishin lezera'av? Are we not? Let's assume, says the Gemara, we're choshishin lezera'av. So now, ben pekua, baal behema mayasa avladein lo takana. And now what ends up happening is the following. If I were to breed a ben pekua and a non-ben pekua, so you know how you are going to be able to shecht its offspring? And the answer is, you can't. You can't shecht the offspring. Because, and I know this is strange, but when you put it together, it makes sense. From the tata, so what just happened, so it got from the father a lack of shechita. All right, or if I'll help you in terms of how to look at it, it's basically, I know, again, I'm not discussing the anatomy. Obviously, it has a trachea and it has an esophagus. But halachically, it doesn't have simanim, not from the father. From the mother, it's been given simanim. And so now what do I have? I have basically half simanim. Or another way to say it is I have one siman, right? In other words, I'm just simply taking the two halves and putting it together. I have one siman. But in terms of shechting, what do I need for shechting? Two simanim. So in other words, without even getting fancy, just a regular case of a breeding of a ben pekua and a non-ben pekua results in an offspring that I can't even shecht. So the Gemara says, so, Rav Yirmiya, I love your question, but we don't even need to get that complicated. The simple question of breeding ben pekua and non-ben pekua is all I need just to confound and confuse everybody. So the Gemara says, well, tzricha da'azala ben pekua de'kavasei. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this then? Here's where I can apply Rav Yirmiya's question. I have a ben pekua with an aver trefa, and I'm going to breed it with another ben pekua of aver trefa. Now, I understand that the pragmatics, the reality of such a case is improbable. But good, that's wonderful. So in other words, from a concrete standpoint, this will never happen. But from a halachic standpoint, from a svara standpoint, from a lambda standpoint, so the question is wonderful. So basically, when I am now breeding two animals that are both ben pekua animals, which, by the way, here's a point that you could really spend the rest of today thinking about. If they were both ben pekua animals with no aver trefa, so do you know what's going to become of its offspring? Its offspring is going to be ben pekua offspring, which means that we can breed an entire farm of animals that don't require shechita. At least minat Torah. We'll talk later in this perek about midrabanan. But at least minat Torah don't require it. But we're breeding now ben pekua animals, which each one of them has an aver trefa. And just to make this question even more enjoyable than it already is, let's assume that the aver trefa is the same aver trefa on both of the animals. Right? The front right leg of both of these animals is an aver trefa. Okay. So my aver molid aver, v'chatech levishari, oduma mevav elzare. And basically, the Gemara now wants to know. And again, the Gemara is not asking genetically. The Gemara is asking halachically. How do we view the Aver Trefa now to the next generation? Is it that the Aver Trefa now just simply clones itself for the next generation so that if the mother and the father had the front right leg being an Aver Trefa, So its offspring now is going to have its front right leg as an Eiver Trefa, or no. In other words, what ends up happening is that Eiver Trefa for the next generation is just simply going to combine and fuse and form and basically permeate throughout the entire offspring. So now that the offspring now has the Eiver Trefa getting diffused throughout the remaining part of the animal. And so that means that the next generation would be Osir. Hadamar Pasha de Mavava Zare. So the Gemara says, and we all know that what ends up happening is that the Isser is going to spread out through the rest of the animal. The Imke now, the Gemara says, now I keep insisting in explaining to the Gemara that this is not a genetic issue. This is a halachic issue. But it's really interesting because, well, you'll see what the Gemara is going to do right now. The Gemara asks rhetorically, Suma Yolet Suma, Vikita Yolet Kita. You know, if you have blind animals and they breed, the next generation are not necessarily going to be blind. And if you have a lame animal, the next generation is not necessarily going to be lame. So what ends up happening is that, now I understand the Gemara here is discussing a biological condition. But the biological condition doesn't just clone itself to the next generation. But what ends up happening is it diffuses into the animal. So now the Gemara is basically using this as a mushal. So the same thing is true with the Isser. The Isser of the Eiver Trefa diffuses into the next generation, going out throughout the entire body of the animal. So Elapshita de Mavava Zare. V'hachi kami bailan. So the Gemara says, so good. So once again now, Rav Yirmiyah, you're asking wonderful questions, but quite frankly, we have successfully answered every one of your questions. So the Gemara says, how about consider the following? Behema ma'aba'ama, la mikoa chela v'dam ka'asya v'sharia, hachinami loshna. Now the Gemara says, now it's interesting. Every time we have two animals breeding together, so what are they producing? They're producing an offspring that is going to be mutter. But consider, do you know that the mother and the father both have isurim coursing through its body? In other words, blood, chelev. And meanwhile, what ends up happening is that when they yield an offspring, that offspring, even though it's a result of the mother and the father, and the mother and the father had isur throughout its entire body, and yet the offspring that comes out is going to be mutter. Now, in terms of just a simple way to understand this, I think we all get it. Meaning because what happened to the chelev and the dam of the mother, and the chelev and the dam of the father, that transforms into the chelev and the dam of the offspring. So the Gemara says, but can't we basically say the same thing regarding the Eiver Trefa? The Eiver Trefa of the mother and the Eiver Trefa of the father are basically going to limit itself to the Eiver Trefa of the offspring. Odilma, Trei Suri Imrin and Tratala Imrin. The Gemara is such an interesting way to formulate the question. Or maybe no. Maybe we cap an Isser. Meaning two Isurim, Chelev and Dam, we can handle. But not three Isurim. Now, it's interesting, by the way, when we say we're capping at two Isurim, it's not really a cap of two Isurim, because consider also, there's a Gid and Asha of every animal. So the animal is not just Chelev and Dam. There are other Isurim as well. But still, the Gemara, I guess the Gemara didn't bring up Gid and Asha. It goes to an issue which we're going to be discussing later in our Masechta, whether a Gid is a Nosein Tam or a Gid is an Eino Nosein Tam. Maybe. But anyway, Ulaman, the Gemara says, but look, even as we present this question, the Gemara says, I'm not going to be particularly excited by this question. Because Ilu Rav Meir Isser Chelev Adam Ika, Isser Yotze Leika, Ilu Rav Yehuda Isser Yotze Ika, Isser Chelev Leika. The Gemara says that, look, it's a machlok between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, and let's just continue in the Gemara so that we can introduce ourselves to this machlok between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda so that we'll understand the basic point of the Gemara. Did not get on Nasha. Noeg bishlil, v'chelbo aser divrei Rabbi Meir. Really interesting question. The fetus of an animal that was in utero during Shechita, as we have discussed now since yesterday, you're allowed to eat that fetus. Get a nasha of that fetus, yes or no? Chelev of that fetus, yes or no? The blood of that fetus, yes or no? So they're really wonderful questions. Meaning, and again, it goes back to one of the more fundamental issues that we've been discussing. How do they view the fetus inside of the mother? Is it its own independent entity, yet the shechita of the mother allows us to eat it? Or basically, do I view it like an organ? Do I view it like a spleen? Do I view it like a liver? Do I view it like a kidney? You're allowed to eat the kidney. You're allowed to eat the spleen. You're allowed to eat the liver. So you're allowed to eat the fetus in its totality. And this is a machlokas. Okay, good. Right, good, good. But in other words, but are the blood and the chalev are still going to have status of blood and chalev? So what we're learning right now, and we're going to see this again in our Masechta, it's a machlokes hatanayim. According to Rabbi Meir, the chalev is going to be aser. Rabbi Yehuda Amar einolig b'shlol v'chabal mutter. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the chalev is going to be mutter. So you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the chalev is going to be mutter. So for Rabbi Yehuda, the question doesn't even get off the ground. Meaning because the chalev of the fetus is not going to be aser. So presumably for him, neither is the eiver trefer as well. Ela kol mikawach lo aminan deshari. So the Gemara says, so just because it comes from the koach of an eiver trefer, that eiver trefer is not going to get infused into the offspring. So the Gemara, once again now, I think for a third time, has basically rejected Rav Yirmiyah's question. And again, Rav Yirmiyah basically wants to know, I have my ben pekua with an eiver trefer. So again, just think for a moment about what we're describing. An animal that is, for the most part, mutter, but with a limb, that's iser. And what we're now, what we have been trying to do for like the last like 15, 20 lines of Gemara is see whether or not that eiver trefer is going to now get into the next generation, infuse itself halachically into the next generation, and basically the Gemara says, nothing doing. Gemara says, fine. Here is basically where we could take the question of Rav Yirmiyah and the question will have a little bit of teeth to it. And that is the following. Let's say our ben pekua with an eiver trefa, let's say it's a female, and let's say we milk it. Can we eat the milk of this animal? Now, under normal circumstances, when we're milking an animal, so even though currently, obviously, you can't eat the animal, it's an eiver, it's an ener shchuta, it's an eiver menachai, but that can all change with a shchita. You see, over here now, what we're dealing with is an animal that, for the most part, is mutter, except for one limb, which is a trefa, right? The eiver trefa of the ben pekua. And so now, when this animal is producing milk, the milk is coming from all parts of the body, including the eiver trefa. And so now, question on the table, can we drink the milk of said animal? The Gemara says that'll be our question. Ma'u ligma v'hachi kami baila. Ma'u ligmoa es chalbo. One of the big challenges, by the way, is we'll see in our Masechta, is you see the word ches lamed beis, is it chalev or is it chalav? And what you're going to really have to do is turn your attention to the context in order to see, over here we're talking about the milk. Chalav da'amal lo ke'ever menachai dami v'sharei hainami lo shna. Now, under normal circumstances, what is the chalav being produced by? An animal that's ever menachai, and yet we're all okay with it. We know it's okay. So over here, same thing. Even though it's not ever menachai, it's really trefa. But still, I'll say it's mutter. Odim ha'asam islay tekanta, l'isur b'shchita, achal islay tekanta, l'isur b'shchita, teku. On the other hand, even a regular cow producing milk, even though currently it's an ever menachai, but that can all change with a shchita. Over here, however, with our ben pekua, with the eiver trefa, that eiver trefa is and always will be aser. And so maybe they're not comparable. Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Do me a favor. Ask me after. I'm more than happy to address. Let's continue for now. Chotech me'ubar. The Mishnah yesterday taught us the following halacha, is that if I take the fetus and I, in utero, you cut up the fetus, so it's inside of the mother, it's not going to change the status of it becoming mutter when I shech the mother. It's not true regarding an organ. You take a kidney, you cut the kidney, even though it's inside the mother, the kidney is not going to be mutter. But when it comes to a fetus, the fetus is going to be mutter. And the Gemara's question is really simple. How did we arrive at that conclusion? Mi nalan. From where do I know it? Dichzit. V'chol behema b'mafreses parsa. Behema ba behema. Lerabos es havlat. So the Gemara over here understands that the behema, the Lashon HaTorah of behema could be understood that is, we're going to take the first behema mentioned in the Pasuk and basically insert it into the next behema mentioned in the pasuk. And we're going to darshan the words behema that's found within a behema is going to be permissible. So the Gemara says, so basically what we do, we're describing the fetus as a behema. So the Gemara says, interesting. Ela me'ata yamiru. So I know there are a lot of areas of halacha that we can go to, but and I know it's a strange place the Gemara is choosing to turn to, but the halacha of tamura. Now the halacha of tamura is actually pretty straightforward. It gets complicated, but the halacha is very straightforward. The Torah says that if I want to exchange a carbon for another carbon, Torah says first and foremost, don't do it. Lo yimirenu. Okay, good. But now we're past that point and you did it. So vahayahu usmura so ye kodesh. It, the original animal, and the animal that I exchanged with are going to have kedusha. Now, what's the basic halacha regarding tamura? It can only go from animal to animal. Can I do tamura with a fetus? The answer is going to be no. But the Gemara is basically saying, based on the drasha we just learned, why not? Didn't we just describe the fetus inside as a behema? At least that's how the drasha went. So alama tanan, and meanwhile, the Mishnah tamura says, Ein mamir lo evarim uvrim velo uvrim beevarim velo evrim uvrim bishlemim velo shlemim behem. I can't affect tamura with a fetus and an animal, and a limb and an animal to the fetus, or an animal to the limb. In other words, tamura only works from one animal, complete, to another animal, complete. But based on the drasha we just learned together, why not? Ela amakra. Let me continue. Ela amakra v'chol behima l'rabbas is avlat. So the Gemara says that no. Really, what we're going to do over here is that we're going to darshan differently. Meaning, what is the allowance to eat the fetus inside of the mother? It's not because we're describing the fetus inside as a behema, but it says kol behema. All parts of the animal you're allowed to eat, including the fetus therein. So the Gemara says, really, all parts of the animal. Whatever's inside the animal you're allowed to eat. So then I'll ask a very simple question. The halacha we learned in yesterday's Mishnah. The halacha is that if the spleen is cut, or if the kidney's cut, even though it's inside, it's aser. Isn't that kol behema? It's inside the mother. But meanwhile, the halacha is very clear. If the spleen or kidney is detached from the mother, so from its, I say mother, from the animal, so you're not allowed to eat it, but why not? It's kol behema. It's in the animal. Amakra osa. Shlema velo chasera. So the Gemara says the word osa, the it has to be something which is a shlema, not something which is a chasera. So what does that mean, shlema versus chasera? The bottom Rashi, second to last Rashi, bottom line, echol kol hanimsa besocha, ava kishihi chasera, shanimsa besocha migufa hu shenechzar mimena, so lo tochol hanimsa. In other words, even though we do have an allowance of kol behema, that you're allowed to eat anything within the animal, it still had to have been something which is shalem, or at one point, shalem. If, however, we're talking about pieces of a spleen, pieces of a kidney, that's not a shlema, that's chaser, and so therefore that you're not allowed to eat. So the Gemara says, Elameata, if this is correct, Hashokhe behema matzah b'demus yona. So let's say what we find inside is something which is mutated. It is so wildly mutated that it doesn't even look like an animal. It looks like a bird. Tishtare, alama amar Rav Yochanan, shochen behema matzah b'demus yona aser b'achila. And meanwhile, Rav Yochanan says clearly, no one seems to debate the point, that if what we find inside of the mother after you shecht it is a mutated fetus, mutated to the point where it doesn't even look like an animal, looks like a bird, it's going to be aser. But why? In other words, it should qualify as being mutter. It's kol behema. It's inside the animal. It's a shalem. It's an entire entity. Should be okay. So the Gemara says, bina parasos v'leika. The Gemara says, yeah, but you go back to the pasuk that we're darshaning. It needs a hoof. Even though we allow for its mutation, but not mutated to the point where it no longer looks like an animal. It still, even in a mutated sense, has to look like an animal with a hoof. So So the Gemara says, but what about the fact that they, if the hoof is fused, and meanwhile we said it was okay. So the Gemara says, okay, but at least it's a hoof. Okay. At least it's a hoof. So in other words, so it's not mutated to the point where it no longer looks like an animal. Okay. The Rav Shimi Barashi Amar La'olam Kedekar Mikara. Rav Shimi Barashi says, you know what? I really do prefer the first drasha. Now, we didn't like the first drasha, but the first drasha said behema ba behema, that the fetus inside actually is a behema. And so therefore, the allowance to eat the fetus inside is because status-wise, it's a behema inside a behema. To which the Gemara says, now, why didn't we like that previously? Because it doesn't work with what we know regarding the halachas of Temura. Meaning, if it's behema ba behema, so then why should it affect Temura? So Hamani Rabbi Shimoni Demakish Temura La Meiser Ma Meiser Eino Noeg Beivarim VeUbrim Af Temura Eino Noheges Beivarim VeUbrim. So the Gemara says, well, it could very well be that really the shlil inside has the status of a behema. The reason why you cannot affect Temura with it is basically because of another drasha. Where do I find the halachas of Temura? It's at the tail end of Sefer VaYikra, and it's juxtaposed right next to the halachas of Meiser Behema. Meiser behema is not applied to fetuses. Meiser behema are only with livestock that are walking, living, and breathing. The pasuk says, "By meiser behema kol asher yavor tachas hashevet." For meiser behema, it has to walk on its own. It just simply doesn't apply to fetus. So even though you could make an argument and say that a fetus should apply to temura because the fetus is in fact a behema for other areas of halacha, but it's not going to work for Temura simply based on the fact that it's next to, it's mukash to the halachas of Meiser Behema. Now, I know we have a little bit more until we get to the Mishnah, which we'll finish this a little bit tomorrow. Let's quickly recap. Our daf today explored the questions of the limb that is retracted, the machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan, a slightly different way of saying the machlokas of whether there is later for Evarim or not later for Evarim, and subtle distinctions in terms of whether we say it the way we said it yesterday versus the way we're saying it of whether there is or there is no later for Evarim. A number of really like mind-bending questions the Gemara asks. Can I use other mechitzas to substitute for the mechitza of the mother, i.e. the mechitzas of the Azara? The Gemara didn't love that question. Ilfa's question, what if the limb was extended between one siman and another siman? Can we at least use that second siman to prevent it from becoming an avela? Rav Yirmiya's question, which basically, if I have a ben pekua with an aver trefa, is that aver trefa going to be passed on to the next generation? The Gemara basically rejected all variations of Rav Yirmiya's question to the point where we got at the end, and the Gemara wants to know, how about drinking the milk of a ben pekua with an aver trefa? And the Gemara says, that's a good question. The Gemara leaves that question unresolved. To the question of why is it that we're allowed to eat the fetus inside of the mother? The Gemara had two drushes at the bottom of Samach Tesam and Aleph. One is basically taking the word behema and behema and fusing them together, behema ba behema, although that creates a problem in terms of why can't I affect Temura with the fetus there inside? Or the other possibility is kol behema. All parts of the animal you're allowed to eat, even if they're not connected, as long as they're inside, then that leads to the problem of why isn't that true regarding the tchol? Why isn't that true regarding the kalios? Why wouldn't that true if I find a fetus so mutated that it looks like a bird? And the Gemara had to address those questions as well.